We need to borrow your phone.
Hello?
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 Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're starting now.
Okay.
Malka, thank you for. So. No, somebody came online. So I need, in order to be recording, I need two people, me and one other person. So.
Hello.
Good afternoon. We're starting now.
Okay, I'm in the emergency room with Tony. I don't know how long I'll be able to stay on.
Okay, hopefully everything will work out fine.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Okay. So, today's class is going to be answering the question that Trudy asked last week.
Why the flood?
Was that the question, why the flood?
Yeah.
Or what about the flood? So in order to address the question, we have to understand, what does the Bible say about the flood? So does anybody want to share with me what you know about Noah and the flood?
40 days and 40 nights.
It rained.
Yes.
That's not the flood. The flood lasted longer than that.
Louder.
The flood lasted longer than that.
How long?
A 155 days.
Why the flood?
Excuse me. 355 days. And why the flood? Well, but again, what do you know about Noah from the flood?
He took two of everything on the ark. So they could procreate.
He took two of every unclean animal. He took seven of every kosher animal, which he doesn't refer to as kosher. It's referred to as clean animals. And if you've ever watched animals, they don't really come across as clean. So we have to understand, what does it mean to have a clean animal and an unclean animal? And essentially, kosher animals are referred to as clean animals because their energy is balanced. An unclean animal is an animal that has energy, but it's not balanced. Now, what do I mean by balanced? What makes an animal kosher? It has hooves that are split, and it chews its cud, which means it chews food, it swallows it, it digests it somewhat, and then it regurgitates it back into its mouth and chews it again. And then it puts it back down, and it's another stomach. It's not the same stomach. That's what is referred to in the Bible as chewing the cud. It's not really, as Sheila made a face when I said it regurgitates and chews it again. It's not really pleasant to think about.
Unless you're a cow.
I don't think cows think about it. They just do it. But there are two signs that make an animal kosher. Chewing its cud is one of the signs, and that represents the concept of restriction, the concept of binding by striking, the concept of stopping your reactions. The split hooves tell us that the animal has two kinds of energy. But because it's chewing its cud, in addition to the split hooves, it means that it is balancing the energy, because that's what binding by striking does. In a human being, when you're taught Kabbalah, and this is not a religious class, but in order to explain this, I have to bring this subject in. Binding by striking is the process where a human being stops its reaction. Somebody gets angry at you. They start yelling at you. You have a reaction. If you let that reaction go, and everybody's reaction is different, some people will stand up and start screaming back. Other people will run away. Other people will go and will sit down and just be quiet. Everybody has different reactions. But the tool of binding by striking is you stop whatever that reaction is. And you pause to understand, why are you reacting this way? Because your reaction comes from your unconscious. Your reaction is telling you, do this, react this way. But that's not my call dropped. I apologize. I am back. So we finished the discussion about binding by striking. That's a religious, it's not religious, it's spiritual. It's a tool that will help you in any part of your life if you do it. Noah was told to bring, first off, he was told to build an ark. What is the word ark? What does it represent?
A ship.
A boat or a ship? Actually, no. Because an ark can be a building.
Yeah. Oh.
A fence around a garden is an ark. It's a protection place. Something is outside of it you don't want to be exposed to. God is saying to Noah, this world is very negative. The people are negative. You're not. You should go and build an ark of protection. And I will protect you if you're in the ark. But if you're outside of the ark, you're not.
How do you get in the ark?
Are we talking about our life today? Or are we talking about in Noah's time?
Oh, okay.
In Noah's time, you build an ark. But what is the ark really? Do you think that a boat that consists of, I believe it was 30 cubits feet long, not feet, 30 cubits long, filled with three floors, three stories, one where there's supposed to be waste, one where there's supposed to be animals, and one where there's supposed to be humans. And you're going to spend 6 months to a year in the ark. What are you supposed to do day and night? Feed the animals. God didn't tell Noah that's what he was going to have to do. But where did the food come from to feed the animals? people don't think about it, especially when as children, and you heard the Noah story, he didn't ask this question. Where did the poop go? We don't ask these questions as children. And because we learn them as children, we don't ever ask them. Until sometimes something happens and the thought occurs to you. Like I'm saying now, where did the food come from? It was a boat, but it wasn't a boat. It was built on land. It was a building on land. A three-story building built in Noah's time. How would you build a three-story building in Noah's time? I'm sorry?
Brick and mortar.
But it can't be made of brick and mortar.
The flood.
The flood would have just... It was made with trees that Noah grew by himself. Took 600 years to grow the trees. Noah was 600 years old when the flood started. The Torah says that. But there's a code in that number 600. In the tree of life, we have our physical world is the lowest, and we have the spiritual worlds. And there are six of them. We call them heavens. There are seven heavens. But when it's six, it's only spiritual without physicality. Noah was 600 years old is a code word to tell us that it was the ark is a door to the spiritual world. You asked, how do I find the ark today? Through meditation. To open the door to the spiritual world. What is a Jewish person? What is a Jewish soul? It comes from the word, the name Yehuda. Yehuda has Hashem's name, Yud, He, Vav, He. But between the Vav and the He in the name Yehuda is a Dalet. A Jewish person, a Jewish soul, is someone who opens the door, because the letter Dalet that we're going to learn as we learn the Hebrew letters, the letter Dalet means door. What is a door? A door can open or a door can close. A door keeps things out or keeps things in. The ark is a door to the spiritual worlds. In 30 cubits, there's not enough space for two of each of all of the different species in the world. I also have to ask a question. The flood was everywhere, right? The whole world was destroyed. Was Australia under the flood too? How about America?
Part of the world.
How about America? We have no archaeological evidence of a flood in America. Or a flood in Australia. We have archaeological evidence of a flood in Europe and in Asia and in Africa.
Really?
Yes.
It's interesting.
Here is Noah's flood. Why do we call it Noah's flood? Did God bring the flood? Well, you believe in God, you don't believe in God. Maybe it was God. But we know that there was this man named Noah. Now, do you remember what I said about Noah in the previous weeks? Noah was the 10th generation. Noah was a different kind of human being. Everybody prior to Noah had webbed fingers and toes. Everybody after Noah.
How do you know that?
We know it's from archaeological evidence. We know it from tradition. We know it from Midrash. We know it from different stories that came down through the ages. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. I will never tell you something that I have not been taught. If it's an idea coming from my head, myself, I will always tell you this is my opinion. You will always know. It's not up to me to prove anything to you. It's up to you to evaluate what I say and determine for yourself.
That's good. Thank you.
Noah is the 10th generation. The Midrash says that Noah is a comfort to humanity. That's why he is named Noah. Noah means comfort. Some people, some Midrashim, indicate that he created the plow. And by creating the plow, he made it easier to farm. And he transitioned from the hunter-gatherers to the farmers, to the settlers, the settling into a place.
Interesting.
Noah is the 10th generation. What was supposed to happen in the 10th generation?
I don't know.
The tree of life has 10 levels. The 10th level is the last level. It is called Malchut. It is the last place. It's the manifestation. It's the physical world. Is there anything that's going to be after the physical world? According to the structure of the tree of life, if you go below the physical world, you get into negativity. There is nothing beyond the physical world. In the spiritual worlds, you have a level, and you have a level above it, you have a level below it. Malchut, there never is discussion of the level below it. Noah is the 10th generation. Noah was to be the Mashiach. He was the peace, but remember in those first 10 generations, any single human being could make the correction of the sin of Adam, of eating the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Noah comes. What's he going to do? He's going to bring comfort to the world. The curse of Adam and Eve is over. They no longer have to work to get their food. They have a plow that makes it easier. It's not as easy as our food. We just go to the store and buy it. But for Adam, relative to what they had to do beforehand, it was easier. The Mashiach was to be Noah. He was to be the leader of the generation. But what happened? The generation wasn't doing what God wanted. It wasn't following the plan of God. It was arguing. It wasn't even thanking God for the food that came out of the earth. It was thanking the sun and the moon. Remember we spoke about Enosh, who told people, let's thank the angels as well as God. And by the time it was Noah's, they stopped thanking God and only thanked the angels. They thanked the sun, the angel of the sun, but they called it the sun. They thanked the moon. They thanked the stars. They thanked the God of the tree. What kind of God lives in a tree? Every time they went by this particular tree, they heard a voice. Say, you should worship me. Why? Because one of the entities that God creates, are devils, are demons. He created them for a purpose. And he gave them permission. Go down to the earth where the people are and inhabit the tree and try and get them to worship you. So they inhabited the tree. And whenever a human being walked by, they said, worship me. And every tree that had an angel like that, they each had different...
It sounds like a fantasy.
It could be a fantasy. It's all what the Midrash says. Nothing I'm telling you. Midrash is highly spiritual people. Read the Bible.
Are they still around?
Some are. They learn Kabbalah. But most people are not anymore. But in those days, they would read the Bible in the Hebrew, and they would take the words, and they would determine through their meditations, they would make the word an anagram. And they would make a story based on the letters that are in the words.
That's so interesting.
That's what the Midrash is.
It's cold in here.
That I cannot help unless you want to go turn off the air conditioner.
Okay. That's interesting.
The world that Noah lived in had become negative. The people were negative. God said, these people are not following my plan, the plan of creation. They're not doing what I want them to do. I have to do something different. So I'm going to destroy them, and this one righteous man, Noah, and his three children, they're going to be the beginning of a new structure, a new way of the plan will work. We have to correct the sin of eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. So each individual could have done it. They didn't. Because they didn't, they became very negative. They did horrible things. Now we're going to change the world, but we're going to first cleanse all that negativity. How do you cleanse negativity? You have a dirty shirt. How do you cleanse it?
Wash it.
You wash it. What do you wash it with?
Soap and water.
And if you don't have soap, will water do the work? You got to rub the cloth, but it'll get out, right?
Right.
You don't need soap. It's easier with soap.
No, I know. It's kind of hard without soap.
It is hard, but it's not impossible.
Well, it's not impossible, but I'll try.
keep the soap. It's much easier.
You don't have to do it without the soap. I have tried.
And that's essentially what the flood was, a cleansing of the negativity of human activity. That's a very deep statement.
It is.
Because what's happening in our world today? Is there global warming or isn't there? I'm not talking politics. I'm not talking science. There's a question. Each person has to determine for themselves, is my human activity bringing on global warming, as the scientists say, or not? Each human being has to make that determination. But the real understanding comes from human activity affects globally. It affects animals. It affects insects. It affects people. It affects hurricanes. It affects earthquakes. It affects volcanoes. Human activity
affects volcanoes.
Everything.
It's interesting.
You've heard of something called a black hole.
Yes.
All of a sudden, science says there's a black hole over in this quadrant of space. Was it there before they noticed it? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Why did they notice it? Or even let's go back in time. Why did the first black hole to come into existence? Human activity, but there was no humans then. But it's still from human activity.
If there were no humans, how can it be?
Because human activity represents the consciousness of souls.
But you said there were no human beings in that school.
I said there were no human beings. I said there's no human bodies. But there were souls. Souls never die.
Really?
Really.
You mean my soul will never die?
Your soul will never die.
That's interesting.
But your body will die. God forbid. And that is the point. Human activity is human consciousness. And human consciousness comes from human souls. And that affects everything, including whether a volcano comes into existence, whether a black hole comes into existence. When you take an x-ray of your chest and there's a spot on it, a black spot, it's not white, it's not yellow, it's not green, it's black. Why is it black? Because it represents the desire to receive for oneself alone. It represents a tumor, God forbid. What is the tumor? The tumor says, I want all of this energy, all the food energy you're eating, I want it to come to me. And it grows rapidly. And it causes damage to the host. But essentially, a tumor is a black hole, and that's why it looks like it's black on an x-ray. Let's talk about Noah and the flood.
Oh, where's the restroom?
Right, the first door on the right.
Okay. This is really interesting. When I get my hearing aid, I'm going to question a lot of things you say.
That's fine. Questions are good.
I was a redhead before I turned white.
Not to worry.
I mean,
do you know what the meaning of being a redhead is?
Huh?
Do you know the meaning of being a redhead?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Then I don't have to answer it.
Well, I was a redhead too, so I would like to hear your answer.
You were a redhead too?
Yeah.
Oh, my head.
Redheads get angrier than other people, don't they?
One redhead to the other, that's just my aunt.
Supposedly, redheads get angrier than other people.
It's interesting.
The tree of life has three columns.
You were a redhead, huh?
White is the right column. It's sharing. Left is the receiving. What is the color of the left column?
What color was your hair before it turned white?
I don't remember. I didn't have hair then. What's the color of the left column?
Red.
Correct.
What was the answer?
Red.
Red. The left column was red.
And what is the color of the central column? It's green, which is a mixture of white and red.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Back to the flood.
The third column was white?
The right column is white. The left column is red. The central column is green.
How do you mix red? How do you mix white, red, and green?
Try it, see what happens. You do paint, I know. So there's a painting class. You can do it there. The earth is being cleansed by the rain. But there are some things that cold water doesn't clean, that hot water is necessary to cleanse it, to clean it. Where is there hot water on the earth? The flood came up from the earth as well as came down from the rain. The flood was a mixture of cold water and hot water, because there are certain types of negativity that take hot water, that take heat to cleanse, to change. And there are other things that will do so with cold water. Beginning to get the understanding of the stories that we were taught as children and how they were there. All of this information is in the story you heard as children. Yet, we don't ask questions as children. We're enraptured with the story. But the story is a veil. A story is a covering to hide something. That's what history is. History is the study of past events, according to the definition I gave you the first class. But it's not the study of past events. It's a veil to hide God. Last week, we spoke about the four ways that God relates to us. Face-to-face, back-to-back, God facing us while we have our back to God, God having his back to us while we have his face and we're facing God. Four levels, not in that order, of course. God is cleansing the world. He's destroying mankind. God is facing the world, right? Humans are not facing God. They're facing idol worship. They're praying to trees. They're praying to the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, all the different things that we've read about as historically. Idol worship. Meaning, human being, human consciousness has turned away from God. That's what the flood is. God is facing us, but the flood is masking our being able to see God. We're looking to an idol. We're not looking to find God. History is that veil where we have to turn back and search for God. You've read the book of Esther. You've heard the story of Esther. What is the story about? God's name doesn't appear in the story at all. It's not there. Because human beings need to do actions to find God, to search for God.
Did I miss a lot?
No. And that's called history. You ask, what is the flood? The flood is the veil that cleanses the world, that brings human beings to search for God, for search for the meaning. Why is this hurricane that we just had, 2 weeks ago, that ran up the coast of Florida, across the Georgia, Carolinas, and all of this, Virginia, all the way up to Nova Scotia? Why is this such a big storm? What are our explanations?
Is there an answer?
Yeah, there's an answer.
What's the answer?
The science gives us the answer. It's global warming. That hurricanes come from hot water, and the water getting warmer is what's causing the bigger storms. That's the scientific energy. You connect it by coming Saturday morning to the prayers. You connect it by doing mitzvot.
What time?
10 o'clock. Or 11.
11?
You can come at 11. We have this issue. Human activity fits into one of those four levels. God and we are facing each other. When that happens, God speaks to Abraham. God speaks to Isaac. God speaks to Jacob. God speaks to Joseph. God speaks to different people throughout history. That's a time when God and humanity are facing each other. Is every human being facing God when God is speaking to Abraham? Answer is no. God is speaking to Abraham. But the fact that Abraham is able to face God is an indication that that's what was happening in that generation. It was only him. He's the only one who said there's one God. We have to be smart. We have to look at what the meanings of these stories are. The stories are designed to us asking questions. The stories of the Bible are designed to cause us to ask questions.
That's interesting.
If we don't ask questions, we never learn.
Right.
The flood came. The world is cleansed. Noah and his three children are living in the ark, or they're living in another dimension, because the ark is a doorway to the other dimension, which is where they found the food to feed the animals. But now it's time. The world has been cleansed. It's time for Noah to come back. So he comes out of the ark with his three children and the four women representing their wives. And what does he do? He wants to thank God for his safety.
Father.
He wants to thank God for his safety, for protecting him in the ark, for telling him to build the ark. So what does he do? I have to bring a sacrifice. I have to praise God. What is praising God? I'm going to plant a vineyard and I'm going to make wine.
Well, that sounds like
it does, doesn't it? And he grows a vineyard and he makes wine and he gets drunk. And what happens to him? The Bible, in its nice, gentle language, says he was uncovered. His nakedness was displayed. In reality, his son Ham castrated him.
That's terrible.
Why did Ham do that? What was his motivation? There are three children who are going to divide the wealth of the world, the land of the world, all of the material blessings of the world. They're going to divide it among themselves, the Torah tells us. Ham goes into Africa. Japheth goes into Asia. Shem gets Europe.
We're all related.
We're all related. We all come from Noah. Why is it called the B'nai Noah, the children of Noah? It's why it should be called the B'nai Adam, shouldn't it? The children of Adam. We started with Adam. But no, it's called the B'nai Noah, the children of Noah. Because of the change from webbed fingers to no webbed fingers. The change of our DNA. And you're going to ask me, how do I prove that? It's not something came out of me. My teachers taught me this.
Who are your teachers?
My teachers were Kabbalists.
The what?
Were Kabbalists. They were people who studied Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
Which comes out of Judaism.
Okay.
And if I say to you the purpose of Judaism was to bring Kabbalah across the centuries, you would argue with me, and that's something that I don't want to argue about. Dude, it's a waste of time right
now. No, not today. I won't argue with you.
Good.
I'm listening to everything you say.
So we have the three sons, and Ham has castrated his father. But we don't know why he did this. And then what happens? God doesn't curse Ham. He curses his son, Canaan.
And where did he end up?
In the land of Israel, the land of Canaan.
Is that why everybody hates us?
Everybody hates us because we're not doing our spiritual work.
That's ridiculous.
As I said, you're not going to argue with me today.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Noah has been castrated, but why did Ham castrate him?
Well,
I didn't hear that.
I'm asking the question, why did Ham castrate Noah?
His father.
Mm-hmm.
He was jealous of his
father. His father's not going to have more children. He's not going to have Ham's not going to have siblings.
Is that father?
If Noah can't have more children, then there are only three heirs to Noah.
There won't be fourth. There won't be a fourth heir.
Oh, how interesting.
If there was a fourth heir, remember we had the flood in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe.
What about America?
It wasn't discovered. It wasn't known.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't there even. If you go back into the Hebrew of the days of creation, there was one continent, as science and geology says. It started with one continent, and then over time and centuries, it split apart.
I've really learned something. Good to know. Wait till my hearing is better. Boy, I'm going to question you.
Baruch Hashem. But you're right, Joe. The reason that Ham castrated his father is he didn't want him to have a fourth child. It was enough that the firstborn receives a double portion of the inheritance. Shem is the firstborn. Shem is the father of Abraham. Not of Abraham, but Abraham comes out of Shem. Terah is his father. But Abraham, Shem received double portion. What did he receive? He received Europe. It's a smaller landmass than Asia. I don't know the dimensions, whether Africa is larger or not. But he's still, where was his double portion? Because the Torah tells us the firstborn gets a double portion of the inheritance. The double portion is he received Europe, and he received spirituality. He received knowledge of how to connect to Hashem. There's a man in the Bible called Malki Tzedek.
What?
Malki Tzedek.
Yeah.
The man in the Bible. Malki Tzedek means the king of righteousness. Malki Tzedek is Shem. He's the high priest of the world. He is the one human being who can connect to God. He was taught by his father, Noah. He didn't teach the others. Abraham comes through Shem, through Terach, and so forth. But that is why Ham castrated Noah. And he was cursed for that.
And how was he cursed?
There are opinions that I don't really buy, not ready to express.
Okay.
But I've heard them, and I don't think they should be expressed, especially in today's world.
Does that apply to the country of Israel?
Does what apply?
Did I just hear you say that?
Israel, the country of Israel, is the modern state of Israel, lives in the land of Israel.
Right.
The land of Israel in the book of Genesis is not called Israel. It's called Canaan. Canaan.
Right.
Okay, so I don't understand your question.
All right, well, I won't go into it.
So you asked the question, what is the flood? It's cleansing. What is the ark? It's a protection shield. What is Noah? He is the father of humankind, because there is a difference in the DNA of Noah versus his previous generations. Where did they get the food? They got it from the other dimension. The ark was the doorway to the other dimension. The animals went into the ark. The story says that they lived in the middle level of the three levels. And that Noah, the Midrash says, Noah and his sons never slept in those 6 months of the rain. Excuse me. They never slept because they were feeding the animals day and night. And they didn't cohabit with their wives, except for the raven and Ham. And that's where supposedly Canaan was conceived, but was born on the earth after the flood, but he was conceived in the ark. Did that answer your question? Any other questions about the flood, the history? But I want to stress, what is history? History is where we find God concealed. The Jewish people are what? The smallest nation on the earth? Population-wise, the smallest.
Why?
Land that area of the land of Israel, the smallest. The Torah tells us why. So Torah tells us you're going to be the smallest country. You're going to be the smallest nation. Because it's not necessary to be the biggest if you are the fulcrum point. A fulcrum. When you were a young girl, did you play the teeter-totter? Teeter-totter. You have a fulcrum, a seesaw. You have a fulcrum, and one kid sits on one side and one on the other. And you go back and forth. Right. One goes up, the other has to go down. Back and forth. If you are at the fulcrum, you don't have to be the largest, because you can bring balance to the other nations. The other nations, the 70 nations, they're the right column nations, nations that share. The Muslims share. They'll invite you into dinner. They'll steal from you. They'll kill you, but they'll invite you into dinner. Why was Osama bin Laden so hard to find? Took, what, 8, 10 years, whatever it was. Why was it so hard to find? Because he was living in a Muslim country where he asked for protection, and it is the Muslim culture, the Arabic culture, that gives you protection. You ask for protection, they're required under their culture and their laws.
Any faith. And they will protect you.
They will protect you.
I might try that.
You just have to ask for protection.
That's interesting.
It is part of their laws.
Oh, that's
He was being protected by the other people around him. Not because they necessarily agreed with him, but because he'd asked for protection.
But when Idi Amin was being forced out, couldn't leave until Saudi Arabia gave him sanctuary.
Correct. Because he needed the protection. This is the whole idea of a right column country, a right column nation. They share.
Are we in that kind of nation?
No. We are in a left column nation. A left column nation receives.
What was the last word?
We're in a nation of redheads.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Andrew. I love it.
He said we're in a nation of redheads. He was making a joke.
He's my buddy.
He is?
One redhead knows another redhead, right?
So there are 35 sharing nations, right column nations. There are 35 left column nations. And there is the central column nation, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. We have to be the smallest because we're at the fulcrum. And our job is to bring balance into the world.
Do we do that?
Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. When we don't, we have anti-Semitism rising. When we do, it declines.
That does make sense to me.
I know, but if you keep coming to the classes, you'll either say, this man is so crazy.
I'm going to give you a hard time.
It's not a problem.
I know it. You like a challenge, don't you?
No, I like learning. And I like teaching. Because there's no purpose to learning unless you're going to teach it.
Don't you? Don't you all like to learn?
That's why you're all here.
Yeah. And it's a shame there are not more people here.
Get them out.
Well, don't you advertise?
I don't advertise. It's all word of mouth.
Okay. I advertise.
I know. On the conference call, are there any questions? Because we're getting close to the end of the class.
So much fun.
The one aspect that I think is important that we stress, and that is the idea of what is history.
Is what?
That we are all looking for answers. And all answers, from my worldview, come from God. But all questions come from humanity. History is the veil that keeps mankind from finding God.
I don't understand.
That is my opinion.
Why anti-Semitism is so rampant. Always.
Because you think you're better than the other nations.
I don't think I am.
Sure you do. I've heard it expressed at dinner many times.
You know, I said to my mother, Mother, this is America, and people are not like that. And she said, honey, it'll never change. And as I get older, I'm so aware of it. I read articles, and I don't understand why. Maybe you're telling
me. I'm giving you the reason.
Yes, I think you are.
But it takes a little bit of thought and understanding before you accept it. Because you have to accept my responsibility, meaning all Jewish people's responsibility. If we were doing the work, and it's coming up in the month of Tishrei, it's called the holiday of Sukkot. Sukkot, we read the Torah for 7 days. Every day we read the Torah. What do we read? We read about the slaughtering of bulls during those 7 days. We start with 13 on the first day, 12 on the second day, 11 on the third day, down on the seventh day, we slaughter 7 bulls. We read that. In the Bible times, when the temple was in existence, the Kohanim, the priests, would slaughter those animals in that order. Well, if you add 13 plus 12 plus 11 down to 7, it totals 70. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? We're written in the book. Who's going to live, who's going to die, and who's going to have chaos? What happens on Sukkot? We share the energy of love, of chesed, loving kindness. Who do we share it with? The other nations. What is their purpose? Their purpose is to share with each other. Their purpose is to take the energy that we share with them and share it in a horizontal manner all around the world. Our job is to bring the energy from the vertical, from heaven. They can't bring the energy from heaven. They look like us. They look like human beings. And all human beings have the same process. But some of us are smarter. Some of us are not. Some of us are better with our hands. Some of us are healthier. Some of us are not. All of these differences, we help each other. This is what Judaism's purpose is, to draw the energy from heaven and share it with the 70 nations.
And you're not doing it either.
We're not doing it. When we share with the 70 nations, there's no anti-Semitism. When we don't share with the 70 nations, or we don't share enough, they let us know. See, let me finish. They let us know. They let us know with chaos. They let us know with anti-Semitism. They let us know with pogroms. They let us know with burnings at the stake. They let us know with writing on synagogues. They let us know. Wake up. I want my energy and you're not giving it to me. You all have a good day. That's the class. Shalom. Shalom on the conference call.
You're not talking.